1 Corinthians chapter 13, when you find it, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your message. Thank you for your word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that will take this message, preach from the word of God, and put it into our minds, but not just our mind, our heart, so that we'll do something with it in the days and weeks to come, dear Lord. Help us never to forget this message from your word. It has affected me profoundly, dear Lord, in my ministry and my walk here on earth. Help us to do what's right. Forgive us for the wrong we've done. We give you the honor and glory for your message. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and just to give some groundwork for this message, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by what?
The
word of God. There's a process to having a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, first a man is wooed by God, and he receives Christ as his Savior. God has already from the womb called him to preach. He has to realize that. He has to surrender to that. He has to be trained. God sends him to a place. He preaches the gospel. He lives a right life before God. God uses him. Lost people hear that, and they're saved. They have their own what? Faith in God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Well, then you've got your saving faith. How do we prove our faith to a lost and dying world? What does the book of James say? By our works. The people you work with, your coworkers, your neighbors, your lost kinfolk, your enemies, how do they know you're a Christian? Just because you say you're one? A lot of people say they're Christians, but they're not. They have a false salvation. They think they're being saved by something. Maybe they were baptized as an infant. Maybe their parents got them confirmed at a certain age. How do you prove you're a Christian? You prove it by your works to this lost and dying world. Just like God proved his love to this lost world by sending his son Jesus to die for their sins. What are some of these works? You can go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. This is Peter talking to saved people. You can read the context. This is your saving faith. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Charity is one of these fruits of the Spirit, one of the works that God expects you to start doing once you're a saved person, once you start growing in the Lord. So we see that process there, and we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know that charity, you can't work to get saved. You can't work to stay saved. We know that salvation is a free gift of God, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My life's verse, when I got saved when I was 15, I grabbed a hold of this verse, it jumped out at me. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I knew I was poor spiritually. I knew I didn't have a leg to stand on. I could not attain enough riches to buy the righteousness of God so that I could stand before a holy God. I knew that. That was not a mystery to me. Charity. A lot of perversions of the gospel, they just put it as love in this chapter, love. It's not just love. It's not just love. I heard some people say, well, it's love in action, but you can show an act of love with the wrong motivation, with the wrong spirit behind it, and it's still not seen as charity, as we're going to see. I believe charity is something that takes your whole being. You know, God's a Trinity, right? This is a good definition of love or charity. God the Father turned his back on God the Son because he loved us that much. God the Son chose to bear in his own body our sins on the cross, die for them, go to hell, suffer in our place for our sins, and arise victorious to give us victory over our sins. When God the Son ascended up into heaven, God the Holy Spirit loves us so much, he comes down. When we're saved, he indwells us. We're God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said when he left, he would send his Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to lead us into all righteousness. God loves us with his whole being. It's a complete three-dimensional, all-consuming love. He doesn't just say he loves us. He doesn't just act it out grudgingly. He has the right spirit behind it. We see here charity. Yes, it is similar to, there's a story, I'll tell it, and I've been to the church where this supposedly happened. You've probably heard the illustration. There's a church across the street, a bar starts up. The preacher, he starts preaching, oh my goodness, we need to get this wickedness out of our community. Pray with me. We're going to have prayer meetings. We're going to have prayer meetings at the church, at people's houses. You call me up and we'll pray about the Lord. Take it away. A few months go by, it burns down. The preacher preaches a message on God rewarding your faith. You just have to pray and believing and God will answer your prayers. And God took this blight out of the community. Praise God. After the service, he's shaking hands at the back door like pastors are wont to do. And an elderly lady comes up and says, preacher, sometimes you just got to put some matches to your prayers. Put some matches to your prayers. Supposedly, she burnt the church down. That's based off of a true story there. You know, thank God, God didn't just say he loved us, but he puts some matches to his love. He sent his son to die for our sins that we committed against him. And God's love in a Christian that we're able to pour out to a lost and dying world and emulate God's love. You see, we're a Trinity like God, right? He made us in his image. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. But what's the odd man out? We're saved now. God revived our spirit within us. But this flesh is not saved. This is the odd man out in our Trinity right now. We have to, every day we get up, die daily to flesh. Because this flesh does not like to show charity. What's some of the first words a child learns? There's two of them. No and mine. Neither of those show charity very well. And guess what? We adults, we show that sometimes in more graphic ways than just words. We're going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And my boots, y'all's church bought me these boots. Now, I found the first pair of boots like these. These are double H boots. I found them in a Goodwill on the road system in Alaska when I went over for a doctor's appointment. They were brand new in the Goodwill and good price. I bought them and I fell in love with them. Now, I've had them for about 4 years. And your pastor, I was talking to my wife, and God's my witness, I was talking to her. I was like, I need to buy another pair of these boots because my other ones are getting a little down in the hill. They're not quite wore out, but maybe another year they will be, to where a pastor shouldn't be wearing them around to go on visits. Maybe I should buy some if I find them on this trip. Your pastor took me to the boot store, and they had them there. So I bought a new pair, and I'm wearing them right now. Now, in Alaska, you can't just wear dress shoes or dress boots. They've got to be tough. Now, these, they don't look like it, but they actually have a composite toe in them. It's not a steel toe, but it's a hard plastic toe in them. You know, I might get stuck, the truck going to Pitcus Point. We go to a village that we can actually drive to in a truck. Once you do fly out there, we are rare. We have a 26-mile gravel road that connects us to two other villages. Most villages are not connected. You can't drive to them in a passenger vehicle. We can. So we minister in Mountain Village with 800 people. St. Mary's has 600. Pitcus Point has 200. Every Sunday we drive to Pitcus Point. At the top of the hill, right as you head down that hill to the Yukon River, down a little narrow valley to Pitcus Point, a lot of times when it's snowed and the wind's blown, it drifts over. And I'll get stuck pretty frequently, and I have to get out and shovel the truck out and go hit the throttle and go to the next drift as far as I can go and then get out. So I need some tough boots as well as good-looking boots. And these are the ones. They're comfortable. I love them. I appreciate y'all getting them for me. Now, the Lord gives you the desires of your heart. Pastor didn't know I was going to be looking for a pair of these, but the Lord put it on his heart. Thank y'all for that. Well, I'm glad I got some steel toes or composite toes. Because this message, God stomps on my feet with it. This message got a hold of me. And every preacher preaches messages, and everyone's important to a degree, but a lot of them, God, he kind of winks at us taking some time to grow in his grace with those messages. Some messages like this, I do feel there's an immediate response expected from God. This message is one of those, and it's had a profound effect on my life. We're going to look at some things that charity is not. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. How many of y'all have ever heard a bagpipe? How many of y'all have heard a bagpipe in a room this size? It happens occasionally, but not very often. There's a reason why. It ceases, and I love bagpipes. One of my favorite songs is Scotland Forever, the national anthem of Scotland. Did you know the entire first verse of that song is about how good Italy is and it's sunny and you need to go there? I've never heard a national. When you read the words, you'll see what I'm saying. I love to hear it out in a field or something, played on a bagpipe, but not in a building like this. It ceases to be a beautiful sound and becomes very annoying and harsh to me in a confined area like this. You know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. When you witness to your neighbor, to your lost loved one, to your coworker, and I mean you're just putting it on. You're got all the right verses memorized. Everything's going good. And then, right after work, everyone else is left. You're the only two there. You go out. You're about to leave. They're about to leave. And their tire's flat. And they don't have a tire plug kit, and you don't have one. And, well, there's a gas station 10 minutes down the road, and they ask you to give them a ride to the gas station to get a tire plug kit so they can plug their tire. But the church you've been inviting them to for 10 years, you would be late to about 5 minutes if you do that. 10 minutes it takes to get there, 10 minutes it takes to get back, you're going to be late to church for 5 minutes late. That church you've been inviting them to 10 years, you turn to them and tell them, I would help you, but I'm sorry I'll be late for church. We'll see you later. We'll pray for you. Do you know forever after, when you quote John 3:16 to them in that eloquent speech of yours, you didn't have charity when they needed it. When they really needed you to help them in a big way, you know what you become to them? You become a really annoying sound to them. You know that Jesus in his earthly ministry, when the opportunity arose to help someone physically, he usually took that opportunity before he helped them spiritually. He would use that as an illustration, as a way to prove his love to them. Charity is love in actions, but with pure motives. That's the problem we struggle with, pure motives sometimes. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am everything, nothing. That's harsh. You know, you go to a woke person, that's the correct name for the people today that are touchy-feely woke, and you tell them, you're nothing. Oh my goodness, you better see that reaction. But even we're correct, right? We follow the word of God. Man, I tell you what, when our neighbor comes to us about the book of Revelation, our lost loved ones, man, we're able to tell them, man, there's going to be a rapture of the church and there's going to be a 7-year tribulation, and you better not be left behind for that. That's a terrible thing. If God didn't shorten it for a short space, the whole world would die. And then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign and everything. We can explain the book of Revelation to them, but if we don't have charity, it doesn't matter anything. Now, I'm from the South. I can do this really well. I'm going to pick one of these guys on the front row right here. I'll pick this young man in the red shirt. Red really brings you out, so I picked you. I'm going to prophesy. Oh, Lord, I pray that this young man, that you'll let him find a wife from Alabama, and she's going to be so buck teeth she can eat a hamburger through a chain link fence, and they're going to have 24 kids. Half of them are going to be twins. No, I'm just joking now. I'm really not doing that. But I don't wish that on anyone. I'm from Florida. I used to get in fights with boys from Alabama, and sometimes the girls up there too. You know, they're mean, you know. Are anyone from Alabama in here? Okay, amen. If there was, I was going to say, well, bless your heart. Amen. You know, we can talk about prophecy in the Bible, about the book of Revelation, and explain it in detail. But if we, when the opportunity arises and they need our help and we don't give it, they'll never listen to that again. They'll only remember the time when they needed our help. It wasn't just something trivial and we didn't give it. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You know, they can come to us, our kinfolk. Man, my kids are a mess. Yours aren't. What's the difference? What are you doing? And we can take them to the book of Proverbs and give them some knowledge about how to raise kids right. Have all faith. You know, we can tell stories at work when the other guys are starting to tell some coarse and off-color stories. We can start telling stories about how God's blessed us and we prayed for this and then it happened, like my boots. The Lord's good like that. Those stories don't mean a thing to them once you've blown your chance to show charity. God's love, pure love given to us, we sure praise God for it. It was free. It's unmerited. We didn't have to pay for it, and we rejoice in that. Even when we were sinning against him, we'll get into this more in a little bit, he still loved us. And yet when lost people hurt us through sin in their life, that's it. Oh, that's it. We're not praying for them. We're not inviting them to church no more. We had an opportunity to help them. You know, your neighbor, cold snap might happen. There might be a drunk. They might have spent all their money on drinking. And they come to you and they, can I borrow your little bottle of propane from your travel trailer? I ran out of propane. And you know they spent their money on drinking. But their kids are sick. And their pipes are going to freeze and burst. And yet, no, I'm not going to help you because you spent your money on drinking. And you knew better. We've talked about this before. You've came to church when I invited you several times. You've heard the preacher preach against it. I'm not going to help you. And then his kids have to go to the doctor because they got sicker because of the cold in the house, dipped down into the teens. His pipes did burst. It cost quite a bit of money to fix it. And forever, the rest of his life, when you invite him to church, when you quote John 3:16, all he's going to remember is you didn't show charity. You did not, as a Christian, claiming to have received the love of God, give it out to him. I am nothing. That's harsh. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, this is the world's definition of charity right here. This is the Santa Claus with ringing the bell in front of Walmart around Christmas time with a pot on the tripod, and you throw the change in that you had left over from the cash register. That's what the world thinks charity is. But that's not complete. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There's that again. Not just I am nothing, but it profiteth me nothing. A lot of people, they think that all their things that God expects them to do that they've done grudgingly with a bad attitude, that that's going to get them rewards in heaven. But it's not. You see, it's not just I know I should do that and thinking about it. It's not just, I'll do it. That's incomplete. Thank God, God didn't show us charity incompletely. He didn't just think about us and our lost and undone condition. He didn't just grudgingly send his son down there. He did it because he wanted to. And he put his entire being into it. His spirit, his soul and his body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He put everything he had into his love. And we don't emulate that. We don't show charity. God doesn't reward us for it. Don't you thank God? Now, when I was about my son Nathan's age, about 3 or 4, I started to figure things out. But I didn't know everything yet. And there were times I would be doing something and an adult comes up and, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then they walk away and I'm left there. What did I do wrong? Tell me what right to do. I don't know. I don't know what I was doing that was wrong. So tell me what's right to do. Don't just leave me hanging here, you know. Do you remember that time in your life? About some of you, it was maybe 9 or 10. For me, it was 3 or 4. But you, there was a time you didn't have it all figured out. And people will tell you don't do wrong, but they wouldn't tell you what was right to do. Well, God doesn't leave us hanging like that, thank God. We're going to look at some things that charity is. There's a few more that charity is not, but verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. How long did God let his son hang on the cross for our sins and suffer? And then at the end of it, he was kind. You get that? Sin causes death and hurt. That's a principle of sin. When our sin nailed Christ to the cross, and then he was kind in return, we rejoice. And yet when lost people's sin affects us and hurts us, they've lied about us, they've stole from us, they've slurred our name wrongly, oh, we won't put up for that very long. And we certainly aren't going to be kind after that. We rejoice in how God treated us in spite of our sin against a holy God, and yet we don't emulate that. This is where charity is the rubber that meets the road in love. Charity envieth not. What about rich people? Are we supposed to love them too? I'll give you an illustration, a story. There was a really rich man, very wealthy, was involved in the oil business on the Gulf of Mexico. Had a Lincoln, was going through Conecuh State Forest in Alabama, right on the Florida-Alabama state line, and his car broke down. He's in snakeskin boots, really fancy suit, got a diamond tie tack. He starts walking down this old clay road. He doesn't know where the next gas station is. Now, this is a while back, a few decades ago. This is before cell phones. And this very evidently poor man pulls up. I mean, his old, beat up, rusty pickup truck is held together with baling wire. Overhauls are held together with baling wire. He's just a poor man. And he picks up this rich man and says, yeah, I'll take you to the next gas station. They got a payphone there. You can dial it up and call your wrecker. And he had, now this will tell you how long ago it was. He got a thermos of cold water out. This is before bottled water too. And he poured him a cup of cold water from his thermos and gave it to him. And he dropped a man off at the gas station, gave him a gospel tract with a church's name on it. And then he left. The key there, and then he left. He did not see that the rich man, in his need, hour of need, as a way, I can get some of his wealth. I'll give him a ride, but I'm going to expect something for it. He didn't ask him for any money at all. Now, the rich man wasn't surprised that somebody picked him up. He was rich. He expected someone to help him. He wasn't surprised that the man gave him a cup of water or dropped him off at the gas station to call a wrecker. What surprised him was that the man never asked for money and just left. And he couldn't wrap his brain around that because he had climbed over the backs of people, stood on their backs to get to where he was in the corporate world. And that bothered him. And that gnawed at him for weeks. And he never read the gospel tract. But one day he said, what made that poor man different than me? He picked it up and looked at the church's address that was on it, went to church, and the poor man wasn't there. He never met that poor man again in this world. He wanted to see what had changed that poor man. He heard the gospel preached and he got saved. That poor man didn't envy the riches of that rich man. He showed charity despite the fact he was poor and that man was rich. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know that the Santa Claus ringing the bell, the Salvation Army bucket there. When I was little, one of my kinfolk, I was with them, I saw them. It was one of the first memories I had. They threw some change in the proverbial Salvation Army pot, the ideal of this world's charity. And then everywhere she went the rest of the day, she made sure everyone knew she had done that. And she'd done her good deed for today. She was that much closer to heaven. Still in God's glory. You see, when we do good works, when we see someone in need and we help them, and then we take the glory for ourselves. Well, I did that, popping suspenders. You know, if I hadn't have done that, there's no telling where they'd be in this day and age. The Bible says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, that's one of those words that's a 50-cent word. Every time someone says unseemly, you ought to charge them 50 cents for it. Okay, come on, pay up now. Now, in my limited redneck vocabulary, about the age of 3 or 4, when I was starting to figure things out, unseemly had never really dawned on me yet, but it did. I was doing something that my Granny Allen did not approve of. Now, Granny Allen was a very mild, meek woman, hard to push her buttons, but I did it. And this is when unseemly was impressed upon my limited vocabulary. Israel Warren, if you ever do that again in public, that was unseemly, Israel Warren. I ought to whip you right now. In fact, let's go. I'm going to whip you right now. That was unseemly. That ought not to have been done in public, Israel. It was impressed upon me, its definition, very well. To the point, I don't even remember what I did, but I guarantee you I've never done it again. That's how good a lesson it was to me. It's something that ought not be seen in public. You know, as we grow in the Lord, we have faith in God. We are saved, and we're just baby Christians, but God expects us to grow. You know, some things, little kids, you kind of expect it of them. No, mine. But let one of these teenagers run up and go, no, mine. Oh, my goodness, that gets my goat. I don't like that at all. I tend to get red ears over that. God expects us not, as we grow in the Lord, not to act unseemly. Like driving down the road and somebody cuts us off all of a sudden and the curses start flowing in word and in symbol with our fingers. And then we remember our kids are in the back, and then we realize that's our cousin that's lost that we've been witnessing to for decades, and we just cursed at them with our fingers and we want to sink behind that steering. That was unseemly for a grown-up Christian to do. We did not act charitably then. This message gets me. This message stomps all over my, what I thought good works were. God gave me this message several months ago. Seeketh not her own. This one right here, us men can relate to this story very well. There was a lost man trying to sell a nice Browning rifle. Had a Leopold scope on it. Not a very X2, but one of the higher marks. $900, fair price. Browning rifle, good Leopold scope, wasn't used much. Save man, $800. Give it to me for, he's looking for the good deal. We all do, you know. Well, they couldn't come, and they parted ways agreeably, still friends. A few months went by, and that lost man came on hard times. I mean, it wasn't just, I don't need the gun anymore, I want to get another one. He needed money to pay the bills, to keep food on the table, to keep the lights on, to keep the heat going. And he called that saved man up, said, hey, I still got that gun. I'll sell it to you for $800. I'll take $100 off just like you want. I really need the money. Would you take $600? And he had to sell it that day to pay the bills. Would you take? He didn't have a choice, and the saved man knew it. Seeketh not her own. That saved man died an atheist, and his excuse till the day he died was, that man who claimed to be a Christian, in my hour of need, when I needed some help, and I gave him $100 off like he asked before, he knew I was in dire straits, and he gypped me out of a fine rifle and scope for $600. And he died and went to hell. Because instead of showing charity, that saved man, he sought his own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know, sin provokes, it does. It pushes our button when people do it to us. They've stole from us. They've lied against us. They've slurred our name. Said they were going to do this and they didn't. They were unreliable. Maybe one of you own a business and one of your lost workers doesn't show up when they... I mean, you lost jobs over this. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Now it's easy for us older Christians not to show our anger on the outside. We'll control it. We're not going to go up and bust somebody in the chops. I hope that's done us wrong. But what about the thinketh part? Oh my, that gets me. What are we thinking on the inside? This is where charity is not just simple love that most people say it is. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond the physical action. It goes into the inward parts of our being, into our soul, into our spirit. What we're thinking, what our real motivations are. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, verse 6, but rejoiceth in the truth. How many times have you seen saved people? It's almost like they're licking their chops when a lost person calls them, would you pray for me? And you know it isn't mentioned, but you know they don't want you to talk about what they're calling you about. You know it. Would you pray for me? I've done this terrible thing, or I made this stupid mistake, and this happened, and please pray for me. And you've had enough witness and effect in their life that they trust you that much. And this is what you do with it. You call up this other saved person. You say, oh, you just don't know what so-and-so did. Now, you need to pray for them, but this is what they did. And it's just a terrible thing. I'll bet you never called that saved person back months down the road when that lost person somehow, through your prayers that you halfway don't believe in, they do get saved, or they quit doing that, quit being a drunk, and they start being good to their family. You never call that saved person back and say, you remember when we were praying several months ago about this person? Well, God answered our prayers. They're doing great now. You don't rejoice in the truth. You're more concerned about the iniquity that's going on. This is where charity really gets my goat in cases like this. God looketh on the inward parts of us, and he knows our motivation. He knows what gets us excited. And sometimes, and preachers are bad about it, they just lick their chops over telling a good story about someone gotten in sin, but they never, months down the road, tell how God's grace got them out of it. These ones in verse 7, oh my goodness, beareth all things. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We sure are thankful as Christians how God bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. And yet, when a lost person, and they got burdens. We know as a saved person, our sins been forgiven, burdens are lifted at Calvary. No matter what comes our way today, God will give us the grace and the spiritual strength through his strength to face it and get through it. Our burdens, we can just lay them at the cross. But lost people don't have that option. Lost people are bearing their burdens right now. And when they come to us, maybe it is selfish motivation with that burden. What's our reaction? I ain't taking that burden, buddy. That's yours. I'll get dirty. Thank God, God bore our burden before we were even born. These next ones really get me. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. When a man was trying to beat my door down, trying to break in, threatening to rape my wife and kids, and I'm sitting on the other side of the door with a shotgun, praying to God he doesn't get through the door so I don't have to send him to hell because I know he's lost. He's drunk. And then when I see him on the road 3 days later walking to the post office, which is right before our house, do I believe he could still get saved? Do I hope it? Hope. Man, the Bible definition of hope is something else. We've got the blessed hope. We know one day we're going to be in the presence of a holy God in a new body. Tears are going to be wiped away. The world's going to be a new world. Everything's going to be perfect. And we look forward to what we know we're going to get. Do I hope that that man who did all those terrible things gets saved one day? Or will I just walk by him on the way to the post office and just shun him? And never pray for him again, and never invite him to church, and never help him when he's broke down on his snow machine again. This is where charity gets me as a mature Christian. Believeth all things. Do I believe he could even still get saved? Do I want it to happen? Do I hope? Do I look forward to it one day? His name's Ivan. Pray for him to get saved. This is where this message, it really just stomped all over me. Because sometimes in this body of flesh, this wicked man that I am, saved but yet a sinner, I don't have the right motivations. I go through all the actions, but my heart's not in it. If you ever come to St. Mary's or any visit missions fields of any of those missionaries, and you're witnessing to someone and God's opened the door and you witness to them for about a week, and you're about to leave, and they come to you and they're crying and they know they're a sinner and they want to get saved, and you've noticed bed bugs on them before, crawling all around them, red with blood. And they go, I want to get saved. They go to give you a hug. Some people do that. That's a showing of love. They're putting all the barriers down now, and you do the Baptist stiff arm. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for this person right now, and I pray, dear Lord, that they're going to get saved and that you'll just bless them, dear Lord. And I know you'll hear their prayer, and they're looking at you while you got your head bowed and you're stiff-arming them away from you. And they're, why? Why did he stiff? Oh, bed bugs. Americans don't like bed bugs. And they go through the motions. They say the prayer, but their heart wasn't in it no more. They let down their barriers, and you didn't show charity to them, and they're going to die in their sins and go to hell. This is where the rubber meets the road with me. I don't know about you, but verse 8, charity never faileth. When you did hug them anyway, and you got bed bugs, and you had to go clean all the clothes and spray all the furniture down and everything. And they went to heaven when they passed away. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, all your knowledge about the book of Revelation, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, maybe I did learn Yupik, but it sure didn't impress the person that I never helped when it was their hour of need. They shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All those things in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that you can impart to lost people to try and help them have a better life on earth, it doesn't matter when you didn't show charity in their hour of need. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. This is still talking about charity, by the way. We haven't gotten into some parenthetical portion of the scripture talking about the book of Revelations now. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. One day we will be in a perfect body that we won't have to struggle to show charity in. This mortal will be passed away. We'll have put on immortality. We'll have a new body, glorified body. Won't even desire to sin. But that won't matter to God. What matters is right down here. God didn't make us a robot. He still gave us a free will. We can choose to do wrong or right even as we're saved child of God. We can choose when that lost person hurts us, we'll never help them again in their hour of need. Last time. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, this old wicked body, shall be done away. When I was a child, remember that unseemly? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away childish things. I put away outward showings of anger when a lost person hurt me. I put away those things. And then I got down on my knees and asked God to change my heart on the inside so that I could witness to them out of a pure heart and not just out of service to God because I was scared of what he would do to me, but because I loved him which first loved me. And what's that? Loved him which first loved me. We love God because he first loved us. You know why lost people are going to love you? Not because they loved you first, but because you loved them in spite of the sin that they were doing to you. And that's an outward pouring of the complete love of God, charity. We say we received the love of God when we got saved, and we're excited about it. And yet, most Christians will never pour out that love, that complete love. All the barriers gone. It might hurt us. We'll get burned. And yet, we won't do it. Maybe you can think today of some people that have hurt you in the past and you'll never help them again and you haven't for years. And God's burning your heart now. Get down before God and ask him to fix your heart. Help you to go to them. Ask him for forgiveness. Help them again. Again. Because charity never fails. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. One day, thank God, God in His love, His showing of charity, when I got saved, I can't explain it, Pastor, but the Bible says He cast my sins into the sea of His forgetfulness. There as far as the east is from the west. When's the last time somebody who crossed us, a lost person, that we did that for them? One day, God, He's not going to pull my dirty laundry out to show it to all the saved people when I get up to heaven, when I stand before Him. The Bible says He's going to put it in a pile somehow, everything I did after I got saved, and He's going to light a spiritual match, and He's going to set it on fire. And the things I did that weren't done with a pure heart and pure motives, like God's love, they're going to go up in smoke, wood, hay, and stubble. The things I did do for God's glory, trying to emulate His love, which was freely shown to me, trying to show it out no matter how bad I was hurt, God will reward me with that. That poor man who never again saw that rich man that he helped to the gas station, didn't ask for money, gave him a glass of cold water and left. That poor man, one day he'll be face to face with that rich man up in heaven, and they'll be rejoicing throughout eternity in the fact, you showed me charity because you had it from God. You showed it to me, and it affected me to the point where I sought it out, and I sought the true love, that's only true love in this world, the complete love of God. And I found it. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. How are you known right now? Wow. This got me. Oh, my goodness, it got me. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. We have a saving faith in God, and we tell the world we do. We have the blessed hope, and we extend that to the lost and dying world. You need some hope. You got no hope. I've got hope. You need my hope. But if we don't have charity to this lost world, we're nothing. The greatest of these is charity. In our witness as a missionary, you leave here, you go to the mission field in Indiana. The greatest effect you can have in this world, in your community, to your lost relatives, your lost friends, your lost co-workers, your neighbors, the bus children, is to show charity, even when they don't deserve it. Because we're emulating a great God who showed it to us. With His great love in us, the greatest thing we can do is try and show that love to a lost and dying world so it draws them to Christ, so we can give Him more glory. Dear Lord, we thank You for this church. We thank You for the blessing they've been to us. We thank You for the effect they've had throughout the world with their ministries, dear Lord, of books and preaching and praying. Supporting missionaries. I pray You will take this message and put it in the hearts and minds of people. I pray if there's someone here today who's never partaken of the love of God, they've never come to Christ for salvation and seen the true love of God and how complete it was, how unselfish it was. He died for their sins. And He still gave them a choice whether they can reject Him through disbelief or accept Him through faith. I pray for that lost person today that they'll realize that they're a sinner, that God loved them anyway and provided His Son as a payment for their sin, and that they'll respond to that love and ask Christ to become their Savior, repenting of their sins. I pray for saved people here, dear Lord, that they'll get on fire for God. Maybe they've hurt someone in the past who hurt them. They never prayed for them again. They don't invite them to church no more. I pray You'll get a hold of their heart and just break it, dear Lord. Make it where You can take it and shape it and have the love of God poured out of their heart again to people, even though those people have hurt them. I pray if they go to the mission field that they'll preach the gospel with charity, dear Lord. Not just giving money to missions, but putting their whole body into it, putting their soul into it, dear Lord. Thank You for what You've done, Your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.